And Greg on a Saturday morning, 15th day of August. So I want to thank you guys once again for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Are you ready to talk to our friend Jason Longshore? It's been a minute, Sam.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's bring him on here, get a set for Atlanta United and a matchup and a team that is a world-class headache.
Yeah, always.
Since day one, they have been
a headache to us.
Red Bulls, New York, Atlanta United today. And Jason, good morning, sir.
Morning.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We are doing fine. You know, how are you doing? Like I said, you've been going, you know what, to the wall for months. But now that you are back in full time with Atlanta United, how has you settled into things? How have you settled back into?
So Wednesday, I was with Mike on a high school football game here on the station. Okay. That was fun. The game wasn't great. North Gwinnett went up 37-0, and then Grayson came back and made it 37-22. But called that game Wednesday night, called the U.S.-Mexico U-17 Women's International on Thursday, called before that the FIFA, or not FIFA, definitely not FIFA, the Atlanta United media match. Thursday morning, and if you haven't seen some of our friends' exploits, like Allison Mastrangelo, Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, all very entertaining. You can go back and watch that on the Atlanta United YouTube channel. And then we had Atlanta United 2 yesterday, so, you know, just a normal kind of week for me.
All right, well, there you go.
That's all. how well did you play?
I did not play. I was just talking about it. Unfortunately... Concussions, man. I can't afford to wreck my brain at this point. A while back, I had a bad concussion. I probably had them when I played, and just we didn't know. And I got hit in the back of the head when I was coaching at a practice session. And I had a very bad concussion for, oh, man. I mean, I couldn't work for probably about 6 to 8 weeks. And it took a while to come back for it. So I had to give up playing, which I hate. Like, this comes around every year, and I wish I could play because I would love to nutmeg Abe and then talk about it forever. But no chance, unfortunately. I can't afford to get hit in the head and then not be able to call all these games.
You know, that I didn't know that you had went through that, Jason.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
But it gives you a different perspective on injuries and our questioning of them because you now have something that we didn't know. But is all right, let's just put it this way. How many players that are currently playing, if you know of them at least, that have been concussed, that are back out playing and it did affect how they played? Or something that you at least noticed a little bit because you have been there.
It's tough because I don't know if you can necessarily tell all the different effects of it. And everyone's different. And every actual concussion, every actual hit to the head is different. So there's not like a blueprint for it. And that's the one thing I always try to stress is I think you look at somebody get hit in the head in a game and you're like, oh, they're concussed. No, they might not be concussed at all. They might be completely fine. They might be concussed. They might be fine then, and then the next day, they might have the symptoms of a concussion. And that's the problem with it that's so hard is you don't know. And we're getting better with all of the science, and we're able to tell more immediately after. I mean, they're getting tests now where they're checking your eyes. They're checking different things to be able to tell if there's the possibility of a head injury here. But there's no guarantees to know. I mean, I've seen, for me personally, like I got hit in the head and I had a headache that day anyway before I started the practice session and I had a headache after. So I didn't really think about it. I'm like, I have a headache. This, you know, it's just one of those days. And I woke up the next day and it was worse. And like, I couldn't focus on my computer screen and I started to get like it felt like my head was caving in. That was the feeling I got. Other people have different elements of it. I could listen to music. I could listen to talk. It didn't affect me. Some people, noise bothers them. For me, it was a lot of visual. So everything is different, and there's just no way to know how it's going to affect any player.
And Sam, I know you want to jump in. My analogy was more about like how you've seen them do business, make business decisions in their play, much like the wide receiver who was great going over the middle until he got tagged, and then you see him with alligator arms for the rest of the season when he goes over the middle. That's kind of what I was
getting. I think when you're in that point in a sport where it affects your play, you have to question on whether you can keep playing at that level, because then you're starting to play kind of defensively. And that's typically, if you're not going 100%, you run the risk of injury. If you're tentative, if you're pulling out of challenges, if you're in that kind of mindset, it's really tough to not have it affect your effectiveness, but also potential for injury.
Spending some time this morning with Jason Longshore. Always great to catch up with him before Atlanta United plays tonight in the Benz. And he is social. You can always find him at Longshoe, at Longshoe. Okay, just like you, I've been at the Benz. I was there for 3 days. I feel like I get my mail delivered there now after being there for two days of Corky Kale and the Falcons last night. But the turf is back. And when last we were there, there was natural grass that has all been taken away. The turf is back. And the team is back, and the grass is maybe a little different. This lineup and this roster is a little different, and it is evolving almost daily, right?
Yeah, there's a lot on the roster to come. We'll talk about that in a second. The actual surface is going to be interesting because this will be the fourth event on the new turf. You had 2 days of Corky Kell, so four high school football games, and then the NFL preseason game last night. And that's going to help, I think, kind of settle it in a little bit. We were in New England here recently and played on their new turf, and it felt very different. It felt very soft. There, you could see the infill of it all over the place, like more than normal. So hopefully these, you know, five football games will help kind of pack it down just a little bit. But I'll be curious to see how it plays, because I think the surface will affect soccer more than football in that case, because the ball is going to be rolling on it most of the time. When you talk about the roster, Paulo Diaz is available, the Chilean center back from River Plate. He's available. His visa is in. He's been training. I liked what I saw from him in the limited amount of time we got to watch training this week. A big personality, which I think will help in the back. Mauricio Amaro is the central midfielder from Uruguay who is on his way in. I really like him as a promising young player, seen by many in South America as one of the top midfielders under the age of 22. So a lot of potential with him. I think when you talk about those kind of signings of international guys coming in that U22 initiative, you want them to be effective as soon as possible, but you're also looking at growth. You're looking at potential for them to get better and better. And this is the first time he's played outside of Uruguay. So I'm looking forward to seeing him kind of adapt to the league. And in the big rumor yesterday, and it happened while we were at training, Brill Embolo, who played in the World Cup for Switzerland, plays currently in France. He is being linked with a move to Atlanta United. It would be around an $18 million deal, which would be one of the more expensive deals in MLS history. I like the signing. Out of the guys who have been linked as a striker for Atlanta United, I think Embolo is the one that fits what Tata Martino wants the best, because he's not purely just a striker who's going to run in behind. He's not purely a hold-up striker who you're going to play to him. He's going to hold up the play and then play it off to somebody else and then get the run into the 18. He can do both. He's a complete player. He's played in the midfield at times in his career. So he's a technical player. He's good on the ball. He reads situations well. He had a good World Cup for Switzerland, scoring twice and assisting twice. Don't know what the timeline is. It hasn't been announced by the club yet, but it's been reported by the top tier of sources that it is all but done. So that, for me, and I've said it to you guys, I've said it to everybody on the station, I've said it on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, you have to have a striker in this team to even be able to evaluate the rest of it. Because it's been 2 years now without a good striker in this team scoring goals consistently, and you've got to have that to be able to see if anything else works. And hopefully Embolo will be able to get in here sooner rather than later.
Jason Longshore joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, man, listen, I know you have talked about it throughout the week. This is our first opportunity to have you on talking about it. But what happened with that match against Philadelphia where in the 96th and 97th minute that team came back and not just tied the score but won it? What happened then that you don't want to see happen in this New York Bulls match today?
I don't want to see a first half red card. That's the number one thing, because I think it took a while for Philadelphia to get their head around having the man advantage, because Philly and Philly's a different team than the Red Bulls now. The Red Bulls now used to be really similar to Philadelphia in that they did not want possession in general. They wanted to give you the ball and then force you into a turnover high up the field and go to goal from a short distance. Red Bulls now are more comfortable with the ball. But Philadelphia is still kind of in that old school pressing idea. So when Atlanta gets a red card midway through the first half, Atlanta had to sit back and defend more and give Philadelphia the ball. And it actually made things a little bit harder for Philadelphia because they're not great with the ball in those moments. And they had a lot of shots, but not great shots. Atlanta scored twice with 10 men, which is very difficult to do. And the legs ran out. They ran out of gas. And you could see Philadelphia starting to find the gaps really late. It took them about 70 minutes to find where those gaps were. And once they got the tying goal in stoppage time, I said it on the call, I'm like, they've got time to go for the winner and they've got all the momentum. And when you're Atlanta in that situation and you have fought for 95 minutes, a man down for the overwhelming majority of it, your lungs are already about to explode. Your legs are about to fall off. And you just had the equalizing goal to the backbreaker, it's hard to flip the momentum back. Momentum's such a big thing, and Philadelphia took full advantage. You can't let the Red Bulls today get those momentum moments and make it difficult for you.
They've always been a thorn in the side of this team. It would mean a lot to be back home tonight and pull this one off, right?
It'd be huge. You just got to, like, talking about momentum, trying to not let it go against you, you've got to build it yourself. You've got to do the things early in this game to get the crowd into it. Give them something to get excited about. Give them a reason to make a lot of noise and get some positive momentum going right now. You've got to, against a young team like the Red Bulls, you've got to make it difficult for them on the road, and hopefully Atlanta United can find a way to do that.
All right. You know, yeah. We should get Jason, like mentioned Sam and Greg, somehow work it into the broadcast. Because he's actually on the show. He's the fifth Beatle, if you will. And yeah. So just for fun purposes, we play it on Sunday morning after the match. And, you know, we can find a way to work it in. I don't want to force it in, but if it works out, you know, that'd be nice.
This could get interesting.
Anyway, listen, buddy, as always, thank you for getting up and joining us. And have a great call tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, y'all.
There you go. Jason Longshore joining us here. Going to wrap things up. There's a couple. We haven't talked NASCAR. Got to get you set for Braves tonight. Oh, we got some things to do here. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.